Welcome to National MI's Educational Sales Podcast Series, hosted by mortgage sales consultants Pat Sherlock and Bobby Welch. This podcast is brought to you by National MI University. We are committed to delivering quality education. Now let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Bobby Welch here, and I've got with me, of course, Pat Sherlock. Pat.
Hi, Bobby. This is an exciting topic. Everyone wants to discuss HMDA.
Well, you know, nothing says sales more than compliance. I feel like, though, we're going to run out of stuff to change. I mean, geez, take a look at the last 4 or 5 years, and I think the sales atmosphere from how much business has been out there has been better than I've seen it in a long time. But people's tolerance for change has had to be very high, and the stress level around the business has been less around how much business there has been and more around, you know, how do I do a loan today? Because that's changed a lot, of course, over the last 5 to 7 years. And of course, it's another big change, another big one coming down the pike.
Right. Yeah. I think that for most lenders, all of these changes, certainly TRID, you know, basically last year was a big one. But this one is more significant from my viewpoint. And we probably should start from the beginning. So our listeners that are on the sales side recognize kind of what this is going to mean to their sales organization and sales team. So maybe we should talk about, you know, a little bit about what's involved with these recent changes, and then we can talk about what this is going to mean to sales.
Yeah. So I guess these changes start in January, right?
Right. Well, just to give like background information, you know, HMDA has been around forever since actually 1975. And originally it was really geared towards fair lending issues. Of course, that's all changed with the start of the Consumer Finance Board. So in 2010, when Dodd-Frank was passed, one of these issues was that there would be changes to HMDA rules. And it moved from an activity that was handled by the Federal Reserve to now something that the Consumer Finance Board handles. And so if you thought TRID was a shock to the mortgage system, I think you're going to see that this one is certainly, maybe possibly a bigger shock, because now HMDA is moving not just from a fair lending issues, but it's now moving to changes in the data points that are gathered at the point of origination. And this is going to have a tremendous impact, not just to the back office side, but also to the sales side. And as you've just mentioned, if you're doing a loan in the fall of 2017, the act goes into play January 1st of 2018. So you have to be complying with the new HMDA changes for that loan that once it starts in January. So this is not just something that you can wait a few months down the road. This is something that really needs to be looked at and make sure that your processes are working. I think there's kind of some major differences. As I said, HMDA was typically just fair lending, but now we've moved into data points such as loan to value, rates, and so forth. There are now going to be points that have to be gathered at the point of origination, and they have to be accurate. I think that's probably the most important difference than in the past, where there were periods where you could submit information and put placeholders into it. Now you have to gather this information up front. And so I think that that type of activity is something that originators really haven't had to think about too much, but they will now. And of course, there's other changes that it's requiring. Every lender is going to get what's called a legal entity identifier. So every loan is going to really be according to the lender number. And likewise, it's going to also that there will be a universal loan identification for each reportable transaction. So we're going to go from a handful of data points to possibly almost 100 data points gathered, depending upon the subsets of information that you have to input. And the other component with it is that it's also been expanded to other loans. Reverse mortgages are now included with it. HELOCs are also covered with it, which was not in the past. It was something where you can volunteer the information. And I think the other side of it that really is new is that this requirement is for any lender that does a low number of loans, 25 loans in a given year. So this is really going to apply to everybody that's out there that's originating any type of transactions, pretty much. So it's pretty broad-based from that standpoint, but it's also pretty detailed. And Bobby, you were just saying a few minutes ago about some of the details that this is going to require. The loan specifics, again, we're going to have information that is not just the demographics, but we're also going to have, you know, basically how the loan's been underwritten, the loan to values, the debt ratios, all data that is now going to be available for the Consumer Finance Board. It's very major for sure. Not a lot of, I think, discussions when TRID was happening, but this is more impactful than I think TRID.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it struck me as I was reviewing the changes that HMDA in the past has really looked at, you know, who's getting loans. And of course, we all know race and gender and making sure that there's some equality in the loan decisioning. I think that was a big push. But when you take a look at the majority of the 25 new data fields being added, the majority of those fields are around the terms and conditions that credit was extended as well. Not just if credit was extended, but, you know, who's getting credited what, who's paying what. And of course, you mentioned earlier that that now can be linked down to loan officer. So is every originator in the company extending the same terms of credit? And are there any trends or any variances that? I mean, this is, you know, what they're going to be able to tell at the, you know, a couple mouse clicks is huge. It's big. It'll be interesting to see what comes from all of this being so readily available to a government agency.
That's very true. And obviously, there's been a lot of discussions, and you are starting to see that now with a lot of petitions being made to the Consumer Finance Board about clarifications on some of these issues. But again, it looks like regardless that it's going to go into play, although lenders have requested delays, but at this point, it's not likely. I would recommend everybody on the call today to be familiar with many of the MBA courses and webinars that they are having on this issue. And so I would highly recommend that you are up to date on that because there is a lot going on for sure in the industry. And I do think what is happening in the big picture, again, it's moved from fair lending to now every item point within the transaction. So let's say you sell to Fannie or Freddie or one of the agencies. They certainly have the data points because that loan's going to be securitized. And certainly, you know, all of that's wonderful that they have it. But now this is all being given to another agency who is now going to monitor the performance of that portfolio, the portfolio of loans. And so it has moved into certainly a pretty broad-based approach of a lot of data points. But more importantly, I think it's going to have a tremendous impact with lenders from the standpoint of their sales organizations, because now a 1003 that's not done correctly or the data is not correct does have ramifications that are very important. And I think for those lenders that and originators that have good consultative practices, they will get the right data, you know, initially. But for the originators that are not, that really don't do a very good application, they're going to have some really trouble. And I think it's going to impact even how originators get hired, because now we're adding this other layer of ramifications if you do poor paperwork. And you can't just blame it on the back office.
Yeah. Well, the expense of rolling this out is already being felt by a lot of institutions. And right. The checks that companies are having to add into their systems to assist a loan officer and making sure all of that's complete. You know, one of the other things that struck me that I don't think you've mentioned yet was that they were also expanding the collection scope beyond just closed and funded loans, that they're now, they're also requiring that this you know, all these data sets are reported on approved but not accepted pre-approval requests that are out there. So that's also an expansion. And I would think that during the sales process, you know, I know from experience that we're not always collecting all that information just to get a pre-approval out. So it's going to affect the amount of work and the amount of due diligence just for that real basic pre-approval letter.
So how would you see it? You know, certainly one of the things that I see is, number one, that even in the hiring side of it, that companies will now have to be concerned with originators and how they are putting together a package. I think the industry talks the talk a lot of times, but now there's going to be ramifications because they're linking, you know, a lender number and to a loan officer. So these, you know, poor efforts are going to translate into bigger types of penalties and ramifications, which I think that, again, we need to be attuned to, you know, what type of package does the loan officer do? And as we well know, some of them really aren't that great at putting this stuff together. Certainly some of it will be resolved through technology, but I also see an impact that lenders that don't have the technology to really help ensure that the loan data information is accurate, I think that's going to be a recruiting issue, because an originator going to someone who is back in the dark ages, that's not going to be a real plus. And you can offer as many basis points as you want, but the loan officer is going to need a back office support emphasis. And I also think, from what I see, and I'm interested in your thoughts, as a whole, I don't see the back office personnel really getting a lot of training. And I could say that within the industry, that could be a fair comment. But now, you know, this is requiring that the data is correct and you're not getting five tries at it. You're going to have to do it correctly the first time. So I don't know if an outside vendor can supply the solution set to everything. I do think at some point you're going to need to have the right training.
To speak directly to what you just brought up, and for those of you on the call that are on the session today that may not know this, but in the past, companies have used outside vendors to help them perfect their HMDA data set as they send it in. So, you know, the data was not transmitted as much in real time. There was an opportunity for back-end groups to go in and look at what was missing and try to perfect those applications. And there was a little bit of a buffer in there that's now gone. And of course, you were dealing with a smaller subset of data. So, you know, this is more than doubling up the work, which just means the systems have to be tighter. The origination process has to be tighter than it has been in the past. So when you, as you see your companies modifying LOSs, and as you see a lot of stops being put in place into your process that doesn't allow you to go any further, that's what your company is responding to. That, you know, they no longer have the luxury in the background to do the things that I just talked about. And that's going to be aggravating for some loan officers who, especially if they've been in systems that have been more open in the past than others. I think larger lenders and larger banks, it may not be as felt,
right,
the change, because they're used to those stops a little bit more. The other piece that I would really counsel loan officers on and sales managers on is, you know, there was a quantum shift that for some reason is still not as known in my mind as it should be to your everyday loan officer that happened as a result of the 08 meltdown that we had. And that is that with the formation of the CFPB and with tracking of quality and manufacturing quality, not just credit quality, but the manufacturing quality of the loan being tied more directly to the loan officer. And more importantly, the loan officer, the CFPB, communicating without reservation that there's liability on the loan officer for the quality that they're producing, and quality being measured by compliance quality, following the laws, manufacturing quality, doing it correctly, and credit quality, performing the performance of the book of business that you're writing, that this just feels like a big tightening of the screws down on that liability. Because, you know, in the past, a group of auditors had to show up in the office and dig deep into files and really go searching for, you know, who was charged what And how fairly has everyone been treated? And, you know, is this loan officer charging the same interest rates as the loan officer next to them? And if not, why? And now all of a sudden that is completely transparent with a couple of mouse clicks.
Right.
So we've gone from this manual audit and very labor intensive process to find these things out to just like literally the data is there in a database and sorted and sifted. And I think that we've got some pay practices and we've got some practices in different communities that a loan officer may serve that are going to be impacted by this. That's just my guess.
Well, I think you're right on. And I think that the trend line is that more data and how every part of the loan has been handled is now getting tied back to a responsible party. And so I do think one of the kind of impacts of all this is that it's just not going to be, well, I sold it to the investor, one of the agencies, and now the risk's off my balance sheet. Okay, it's off your balance sheet, but now with this type of tracking information, you're talking about, as you're saying, a few clicks that they're going to know a lot about the loan, which in the past was manually very difficult to do. So this is really, I guess, another step in the direction of mastering all of the issues of how the loan got originated. And is there a difference between lender A and lender B and originator A and originator B in the quality of the data that is submitted and the quality of the loan? I do think that this all, you know, you are doing it to a point, but you're sending it to Fannie and Freddie. Well, now there's this other agency that is stepping in and they are really going to do a very powerful type of analysis. So it's a big change. I think it's going to impact the hiring and who we are selecting, because these loan officers that kind of want to do it on a napkin, and that's going to be the application, I think those days are pretty much over. I also think that what I see for sure on the back office side, especially in the processor position, such an uneven amount of talent. So we're going to have to invest in training for sure. And I do think that because these changes are taking place in January, that this is going to impact your pipeline. So I would recommend everyone to be actively looking at the MBAs and other vendors that are having webinars explaining what's being required and basically bringing everyone up to speed on it. So I do think it's going to be even more impactful than TRID because it's going to be so all-encompassing. Any other thoughts in the last minute?
Yeah. I would just underline that, you know, for the originators out here listening to this, many of you have already, you know, have developed a heightened awareness about the connection between your actions that you take, whether it's, you know, how you approve a loan, how you speak to a borrower, who gets a rate decrease versus who doesn't, and what does that look like to a potential auditor in the background as they look at the pattern. I think many of us are getting used to thinking like that, but I think that this should drive that need home. Because again, as an originator, if more of your loans get rate reductions than another loan officer, that can now be seen. And that now has an impact on the performance of your entire office and certainly yourself. And vice versa goes through. I know companies that a certain loan officers, because of product mix, et cetera, earn potentially more money than the loan officer sitting next to them. I think that those type of practices, it's going to be interesting to see what this perfect transparency to what one loan officer charges, because again, that's what keeps popping off of me when I look at this list, is this is very heavy on the discount points and the points and fees and origination charges and all of that. And now I can slice and dice it based off of income and where somebody lives and their race and their gender. And I can see patterns that would have been harder to put together in the past. Right. And as a loan officer, you just got to remember that you are personally liable for this stuff now too. And if you're not, you know, just make sure you're aware of the practices going on inside your company as well as your own, and make sure that you're comfortable with them, because it's going to be a heck of a lot easier to have a regulatory body see that and want to take action?
Well, I guess the last thought that I would say is I think, again, likewise, not just from the lender standpoint on who they hire, but I think from an originator standpoint on deciding to join a company, you really need to be asking a lot of questions about the compliance activity of the lender, because now they're going to be tracking numbers, as you've mentioned, that go down pretty far. And you don't want to be on the violation list of the Consumer Finance Board, that's for sure. So it's important, certainly. One that I would say everyone listening today, if you're not familiar with it, you need to. It's that important for sure. Any other thoughts, Bobby?
No, I mean, you know, that important topic, not always one of the most exciting ones when you have to talk about compliance, but, you know, repercussions both individually and for the companies we work for, we got to take this stuff seriously. So I'm glad we're talking about it.
Right. Well, I want to thank everybody today for joining us and certainly look forward to you listening to our next podcast. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening. If you have a topic to suggest, please tell your National MI account manager, and you may soon see it as part of our sales podcast series.